At 5:44, I'm Justin Martin with a special report from KERA News, as well as our public radio partners from around the state as part of the Texas Newsroom. We're going to bring you the latest on how the coronavirus outbreak is affecting Texas. From North Texas athletes who will wait a year to compete in the Olympics and Paralympics, to potential financial help for Dallas businesses, and a visit with a family mourning the death of a loved one in the age of COVID-19. But first, the latest on the climbing case counts in North Texas. Dallas County today reported 100 new cases of COVID-19, bringing the county's total count to more than 730. The county also reported its 14th and 15th deaths. A Mesquite man in his 50s and a Garland woman in her 80s both had been critically ill in local hospitals. Dallas County officials say the numbers of intensive care unit hospitalizations from COVID-19 this past week have exceeded the peak week of county ICU hospitalizations from influenza this past flu season. Elsewhere in North Texas, Tarrant County today reported 15 new cases of COVID-19 and its second and third deaths, a man in Hearst and a woman in Fort Worth. Tarrant County reports a total of 288 cases, but many of those are considered provisional. Collin County reported 24 new cases today. Countywide, a total is now 184. And Denton County this afternoon reported 25 new cases for a countywide total of 231. In Dallas, as small businesses struggle due to the coronavirus pandemic, city officials are weighing the pros and cons of implementing a grant program to help. KERA's Becca Moore reports.
The proposal calls for giving up to $10,000 to businesses that are not part of a franchise and open at least 6 months before the pandemic started. Courtney Pogue is director of the city's Economic Development Office. He told Dallas City Council members during a committee meeting that local funding would help businesses as they seek federal loans.
And so we have come up with a concept to more or less bridge the gap between what the SBA can do in the interim and what the city of Dallas could do to support our small businesses.
But Councilmember Lee Kleinman says handing out free money isn't the best solution. He suggests a low-interest loan program.
Our businesses take risks, and they understand their risks. And while this is an unusual time, I think it's perfectly acceptable for us to provide bridge financing. But just giving it away is just going to attract, in my view, the wrong kinds of businesses to the program.
Pogue says the grant program would cost the city about $3.5 million and hopes it could be funded by leftover bond money. Officials say the matter will be forwarded to the full council for consideration. I'm Becca Moore in Dallas.
The coronavirus pandemic has touched all parts of our lives. We're navigating a new normal around everyday events like eating and working and even dying. From KUT in Austin, Jimmy Moss shares one family's story.
Terry Shockley remembers her mother as a strong person.
She had to be. Eventually had four children, and we were a military family. So we were moving a lot. She had to do a lot of packing, a lot of organizing, a lot of discipline. My dad was busy with his career. She was strong.
Discipline of you?
Of the children.
That would include you?
Yeah, when she knew about it.
Okay. Yeah. Patsy Hopper moved to South Austin with her husband back in the 1980s. She was supportive of Terry, helping out the single mother when she could. Later, after Terry's dad passed, her mom became a roommate and a travel partner.
We went to England. We made two trips to France, one to Normandy area and the other to Provence. And we went to Italy. We went to Vancouver several times. One of my brothers lives there.
In the last few months, Patsy Hopper entered a memory care facility. And on the evening of March 13th, the 93-year-old mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and travel buddy had a small stroke and passed away. A sad but normal event in completely abnormal times, thanks to fears of the spread of COVID-19. As word of Patsy's death made it to other family members, it was clear. Travel restrictions and unease about the spread of the coronavirus were making one of the more difficult parts of life, the death of a loved one, even more difficult.
The other relatives are unable to travel or choosing not to because it's so questionable. One brother is in Canada. Of course, we know the situation with that. He can't come across the border.
Which prompted some relatives to ask a hard question to one of Terry's daughters, Patty Crow.
There's a viewing and a burial. So my aunt didn't quite ask me, never even got the words out, but I knew what she was saying. She wanted a photo or something of my grandmother just for closure. I mean, they're not coming, and we don't expect a lot of people to show up to the viewing, just given the circumstances.
And they're not alone. Memorial services across the country are scaled back or on hold until the pandemic has passed. Funeral homes in Austin are categorized as essential businesses, but they still must comply with the local and statewide order of gatherings no larger than 10. For Patsy Hopper's service, the funeral home they used asked that no more than 8 enter the chapel at any time.
You know, death is always a difficult time for families. But this is our ministry. We comfort those. We show them love, compassion, and help them out during a difficult time in their lives.
Stuart King is a third-generation funeral director at King Tears Mortuary in East Austin. In all of his years watching and now running the family business himself, he has never seen circumstances like this. And for anyone who has lost a loved one, the funeral is just the beginning of a lot of work to settle someone's estate, all of which is likely to be encumbered with government offices closed and stay-at-home orders in place.
But my concern now is the paperwork getting done by the state of Texas. Death certificates, will they be on time? This Office of City Vital Records closed down, so we can't go down and pick up a death certificate from the City of Austin Vital Records. Because you cannot do a death certificate from home. You cannot do a certified death certificate from your house.
Several things hinge on death certificates, like insurance payments or execution of wills. Belinda Arambula is a partner at Burns Anderson Jury and Brenner with a specialty in probate law. She says while family members wait, there are little things they can do as a stopgap until we figure out how to move forward in our new, or at least current, normal.
Things that are pending, such as mortgages or electric bills, things of that nature, the person who anticipates that they're going to be the executor for the estate should put the banks or accounts on notice of the death.
And while the coronavirus has temporarily stopped in-person hearings at Travis County's probate court, an order was issued allowing hearings outside of a traditional setting.
Judges, and this is not limited to probate, but other judges are holding court from their house with video conferencing. So I think as time goes on, what we're going to see is a lot of accommodations made.
Back in South Austin, Terry Shockley is still working through her grief and paperwork.
I'm trying to pace myself, but all the time there's things going through my head that have to be done, need to be done. There's a lot to do when someone passes away. And I don't know if people really realize how much there is involved. So I have to pull back and pace myself, or I get too anxious with it all.
Something she might have picked up being raised by a strong woman, Patsy Hopper.
I'm Jimmy Moss in Austin. Lots of events have been canceled because of the coronavirus, but postponing the 2020 Summer Olympics and Paralympics in Tokyo, maybe the biggest, they'll be held next year. That's big news for the Texas athletes who plan to compete, several of them with ties to North Texas. Michael Marks with Public Radio's Texas Standard spoke with some of them.
Vincent Hancock had planned to practice. The Fort Worth resident is a two-time gold medalist in skeet shooting. Following a routine is part of his success. But once he got to the range...
I shot one round and was just totally... I was like, you know what? It's not even worth it for me to be out here right now because I'm not into this.
He was deflated by the Olympics being postponed. Hancock qualified for his fourth games earlier this month, and he had a training plan all mapped out to ensure peak performance in late July. Now?
Yeah, I'm just going to have to rethink everything.
It's a feeling that Olympians and Paralympians from across Texas share. Deja Young is a Paralympian from Mesquite who competes in the 100 and 200 meter dash.
My heart dropped to my stomach. It was just like, wow, this is actually real. Not saying that I didn't think the pandemic was real or anything, but it really set in. It just feels a sense of loss. I feel kind of unsure about what's next and just a little anxious.
She spent most of the last 2 years living and practicing at the Olympic Training Center near San Diego. Most of the resources at the facility are closed, but the track is still open, so Young is still practicing. As rumors started that the games could be pushed back, though, she found herself losing steam.
And you can kind of feel that sense at the track sometimes with everyone there, it's kind of just like, man, we're here, but why?
It's not that she's unhappy or ungrateful for the opportunity. It's just hard to keep focus with so much uncertainty in the air. Despite that, the letdown's been tinted with some relief for athletes like Michelle Carter.
For me, it's like just not knowing, you're holding your breath, trying to still keep in mind, like, the Olympics could be, let me still train as if it is. But now that we know for sure that it's going to be next summer, it's just like, okay, cool.
That doesn't mean that training will be any easier. Carter won gold in the shot put in 2016. But right now, the Red Oak native can't get into a gym to lift weights, which is pretty important for a shot putter. Her normal throwing spot, the Jesse Owens Memorial Athletic Complex in South Dallas, that's now being used as a social services center because of the virus. Carter's practicing at DeSoto High School in the meantime, which is fine by her.
I just need a shot put ring and a toe board, and I'm good to go, an open space.
It's harder for other athletes to find a place to practice, though. Caitlin Eaton is from Houston and plays on the U.S. women's wheelchair basketball team.
I don't think any of us have access to an actual basketball court as of right now.
She's used to playing every day, but hasn't been on a court in over a week and a half. With no access to weights, Eaton said the team's trainer advised them to lift canned food or milk jugs. Like other athletes, Eaton is disappointed, but knows postponing was the right thing to do for public health. And there is a silver lining.
You know, you're with this team for so long and for 4 years, and then after Tokyo, the sad part is it comes to an end. Some people retire, some people don't come back. So this just gives us an opportunity to be together for one more year, which is something to celebrate.
I'm Michael Marks.
The folks behind North Texas Giving Day are planning a special spring fundraising day in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. The May 5th event, which was announced today, will be called North Texas Giving Tuesday Now. It'll be part of an international effort that day titled hashtag Giving Tuesday Now. Last fall, North Texas Giving Day raised more than $50 million for almost 3,000 nonprofits. The May 5th event will work the same way. Donors will be able to make a contribution online to their favorite nonprofit. They'll also have an option to donate to an emergency fund or choose organizations specifically responding to the pandemic. You can find more details on our Coronavirus Live blog at kerinews.org. The North Texas Food Bank will be distributing free food tomorrow at Fair Park in Dallas. The event will take place from 9 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. Participants are asked to enter through Gate 5. While the service is focused on South Dallas residents, it's available to everyone throughout Dallas County. And finally tonight, a death in the KERA family. Lynn Seymour, a longtime television producer at KERA and programming leader at PBS, died Tuesday night in Tampa after testing positive for COVID-19. Her family said she and her husband, former KERA TV station manager Mike Seymour, had been self-quarantined at their home in Tampa after returning from a trip to Egypt. At KERA, she produced a number of programs, including New Taste from Texas with Stephen Piles, featuring the legendary Dallas chef and restaurateur. Learn more about her legacy at kerianews.org. Tonight's forecast calls for increasing clouds and southerly winds. Expect a warm night with lows in the upper 50s. Tomorrow brings a chance for rain and storms with highs in the low to mid 70s. More storms are expected Friday, but it'll be a bit cooler with highs in the 60s and low 70s. At 5:58, this is KERA News.
I'm Nilofer Ursula with Art and Seek.